This is KUT. Austin city government underwent a massive shift just over a year ago with the swearing in of the first city council under the new 10-1 system, in which council members are elected from geographic districts. The documentary 10-1, that's W-O-N, focuses on the campaign that brought out over 70 candidates and might be the start of a change in Austin's politics. Former television journalist Judy Maggio co-directed the documentary. KUT's Jennifer Staten talked with her recently about how they packed all of that into half an hour.
Probably a mixture of insanity and love of Austin. You know, when I was in television news, every time a story would come up about the city council and this push to get 10-1 on the ballot, to get single-member districts on the ballot, I would get all excited. I was like, you don't understand. There's this history here, this gentleman's agreement, and a lot of people feel like they don't have a voice on this council. And I would get very passionate about it, and I'd look around the news table, and people would be staring at me like, huh? But I've always felt like this was an important issue. It's part of our history, and this is a watershed moment. So we wanted to follow the story of this particular time in our histories.
Well, let's look back at that history then for a moment. So there had been several instances in Austin's past when voters rejected geographic districts.
Six
it had been
times.
Tried six times.
Yeah, six times.
And remind us about that gentleman's agreement, what that was and how that kind of was kept in place.
Well, it was kind of an unspoken agreement. Back in the early 70s, when civil rights was really reaching a peak, and equality was fresh on the minds of everybody in the broadcasting business and all across the all local governments as well, there were some lawsuits against the city of Austin. And basically, civil rights groups were saying, your council is not integrated. Your council is not representative of this city and its makeup as far as the percentages of minorities versus whites. And so the solution with city leaders at the time was to come up with this thing called the gentleman's agreement. And no one really knows who was there. There was some talk of some of the leaders and the business community being there, but it was one of those unseen, unspoken deals. It was a pact. And, you know, when you tell people about it in other cities, they go, what? You know, Arthur Garcia, who we interviewed for the documentary, said he would tell other editorial writers across the country about it, and they'd go, they'd do like Danny Thomas spit takes and say, what?
Yeah,
How does that work?
He was at the Statesman and
Arnold Garcia was a longtime city editor at the Statesman. You know, how does that work? How do you enforce it? And it was just like this unspoken agreement. And what happened was our city council was elected from a very small percentage of the population. And that's not a truly representative council.
So how did you all then go about telling the story of Austin's first election with 10 geographic districts? There were 78 candidates.
78 candidates, including the mayoral candidates. Yeah.
So including all of them. Of course, the mayor's still elected at large, and then the 10 geographic districts. How on earth did you all begin slicing and dicing that into manageable numbers?
Did I mention we only had a crew of four and one person had no TV or film experience? He was a local realtor who just came up with the idea. So there were really two photographers and me. And I don't know how we covered 78 candidates. We did our best. What we decided to do was zero in on the minority opportunity districts, because that was the crux of the issue, that minority communities in Austin did not feel like they had a voice on the city council. So we mainly focused on District 1, District 4, and District 3, all supposed to bring up the number of minority candidates. We didn't focus on District 2, the other minority opportunity district, because Delia Garza really didn't have much of an opposition, and we knew she was kind of a shoe-in, so we wanted to get the drama of those other races because they were so filled with candidates.
Well, tell us about the drama then that you all encountered.
Well, the most famous drama is the Susana Almanza Pio Renteria drama, and that was in District 3. Susana Almanza declared her candidacy, longtime advocate in East Austin, longtime activist in East Austin, and she really wanted that position, and she wanted to be the first Hispanic woman to ever be elected to the Austin City Council. Well, about 6 months after she filed, her brother, Pio Renteria, also longtime community involvement person, helped with a lot of other campaigns. He decided to file. So this family rift came about. And I'm not even sure to this day if they're speaking or not. I know they weren't right after the election, but it became a, you know, I said, so what's going to happen at Thanksgiving dinner this year? And it was just, it was one of the first times in the country that two people in this, from the same family ran against each other. So it was fun. It was kind of fun to watch from a visual perspective.
So one of the things that struck me watching the documentary is Austin, high-tech city. There's so many ways to reach voters now with technology, with apps. But it seemed like that door-to-door retail politics still played a huge role in these candidates getting their messages out.
Absolutely. And that was one of the beauties of going to this 10-1 system where, you know, in the past, candidates would have to go out and try to get the attention of close to a million people. Now you had about 80,000 people in each of one of these districts. So it was easier to take that grassroots approach. And truly, I think every candidate went about it a different way. Greg Kassar in District 4, quite young, in his 20s, he set up kind of like a war room. And
in his house.
In his apartment, yeah. And had all these, you know, millennials around the table. And it was all very technology-driven, social media-driven. But Pio Renteria was driving around in his truck with a little megaphone going, vote for Pio Renteria, District 3. So it was very diverse. And I thought that was one of the beauties of telling the story, was that all these candidates, because it was a brand new system, decided to kind of do it their own way. And it made it more fun.
So one big question that comes up in the documentary is, you know, given the fact that the title of the documentary is 10-1, Austin's New Voice. So the idea is more candidates representing more groups, getting more voices out there. One of the questions that comes up, though, in the documentary is, what is the role of political professionals, consultants in this new system? So I'm curious what you discovered. David Butts is a character in the documentary. He's featured.
And he's just
a
character. He and Peck Young are great characters.
What role would you say those consultants, those professionals played in this new system?
Well, I think because it was a brand new system and no one had it quite figured out yet, I think they did still play a very active role. I didn't realize, because when I was anchoring the news, I covered a variety of different types of news. I was not honed in on just City Hall. So I didn't really realize the influence that both David Butts and Peck Young had on these council elections, in particular David Butts. And most of the city council members prior to 10-1 had been supported by him, and he ran their helped run their campaigns. And when we look at the actual campaign for 10-1, he also supported some of the front runners, Orr Houston, Greg Kassar, but he had some losses for the first time in 20 years. So the second story arc, other than the candidates in this documentary, is really this battle between Peck Young and David Butts, two guys who have been involved in city politics for decades, and their scramble to continue to control who sits on the dais and not really set the agenda, but really they both love this stuff. So, you know, we had David Butts down at election headquarters on election night doing the old-fashioned, you know, looking at which precincts were voting for which candidates. And then there was the Invisible Man full-page ad that Peck Young and others decided to put in the newspaper saying, David Butts is the invisible man behind the city council dais pulling all the strings. So it made for great drama. And in the end, they both came to the premiere of the documentary. They shook hands. They both said, job well done. And I'm hoping that it helped kind of heal some of this rift, because they are both important. They're wealths of knowledge about our city government.
How do you think the system was left, though, after this election? Are we likely to see those both in front of the scene and sort of behind the scenes characters still involved? Or do you see that maybe phasing out as we have, you know, elections are coming up again this fall?
I know.
So we're going to go through not all 10 seats.
Right, but a handful of them, yeah.
Some of them, yeah.
I think it's too soon to predict, because we are still figuring this out one step at a time. I think that you did see that they had influence in this election, and I think they will always continue to have some influence just because they're good at this. They're both very smart people who've watched this city go from a small, sleepy college town to this high-tech mecca that it is today. So when you have that kind of experience and you've been involved in city politics at this level for so long, I think you kind of have to be involved, and I think they will continue to have power. Now, whether they will have as much influence as they used to, I think that might be doubtful, just because this is a much more grassroots district by district campaign. But it was fun to watch them both in action. They really are good at what they do.
So let's talk turnout for a moment.
Okay.
The hope was that going to the system, one of the outcomes would be more involvement, more voter interest, more voter turnout, since they had one person representing them in right. their district. There's a character in the documentary who says Austin voter turnout has historically been scandalously low.
It's true.
What did this election bring us in terms of turnout?
Well, it wasn't great. I've talked to Dana DeBeauvoir a lot about this, our Travis County clerk. First of all, under the gentleman's agreement and under this kind of good old boy system, if you will, turnout had gotten to be like 10%. They were having these city elections in May and people weren't paying attention. They'd have a runoff in June and people were on vacation. And the same people, the same power brokers were really kind of controlling these city elections. So when we went to 10-1, they moved the election to November and we had a much better turnout. We had, I think in the mayoral election, something like 40%, and overall about 32 to 35% on those council races. So yeah, it was 3 to 4 times what we used to have. But one of the things that across the board everybody says is, this is a watershed moment, and people are more engaged than they've ever been, but we need to take advantage of it. We need to harness that energy and that interest in city politics right now to keep civic engagement high on everyone's mind, because if people don't vote in this next city election, then what was it all for? If we're going to have a more representative government and people don't vote, is it really a more representative government?
So are you all planning a sequel to see how 10-1 does down the road?
Well, let me just say this. This was a pro bono project that we worked on for a year and a half. I've decided that I'm terrible at fundraising, and the guys may continue to go, my partners, the producers, Deep Nasta, Steve Kahn, co-directed with me, and chief photographer, editor, David Ruiz, also one of the graphics people, did a lot of editing photography. And then I had help with the senior videographer at City Hall, Jonathan Yule. But I kind of poured my soul and time and talent into this project for a year and a half. So I'm kind of ready not to talk about 10-1. I'm going to vote. I'll be engaged, but I don't want to do any more on 10-1. That ship has sailed, Jennifer.
So now that the ship has sailed, looking back now over the entire process, following the candidates in the three districts very closely, producing the documentary, directing the documentary, what is something that struck you the most about what you saw?
I think what I saw was a rebirth of sorts of Austin, a rebirth of kind of an interest in the whole political system. And I really liked that. I loved going to the forums, although there were so many forums, you know that. But I loved just the dedication and the desire of these candidates to get their message out, to be the first to represent this particular district, their part of town where they grew up, where they've lived, where they've worked, where they've lobbied. And that was a beautiful part of it for me, to see that there are so many people in Austin who love this city so much, like I do, that they really want to be engaged and involved. So that was one of the gifts, I think, of the documentary. And just, I was very grateful that all these people were willing to share their stories and give us great access to their campaigns, to their consultants, to these people that ran each of the district's candidates. And think about it, they were like, some districts had up to 10 candidates. You know, it was crazy. It was impossible to keep up with them all.
Judy Maggio is a co-director of the documentary 10-1, and that's W-O-N, 10-1, Austin's New Voice. Judy, thank you for coming in to talk with us today.
Thank you so much, Jennifer, for having me.